Accession number 18523, real one.
Ted Winkler, real one. Where were you born, please?
In Hamburg.
Which year was this?
1920.
Did your father and mother come from Hamburg?
Yes, they both come from Hamburg, my mother and yes.
What did your father do for a living?
My father, he was a post official.
And did you grow up and have your schooling in Hamburg?
Yes, I did, but did have my schooling.
Which school did you go to there?
It was a normal school which was later called the Adolf Hitler Schule. Not that it had any connotations with it, because the name was taken off once it started, the Hitler schools.
And how old were you when you left school?
14.
In 1934?
Yes.
Do you remember Hitler's party taking over in Germany?
Oh yes, very well. My father was a member of the party from 1927. He had, during the war, he had lost his right arm. And anyhow, he was inclined to join that party.
Do you know anything about your father's military service in the First World War?
Yes, I've got his paybook, everything else. He was in the battle. Well, I've got the names, I can dig them out for you.
Just tell me what you can remember.
Well, he was on the Somme and the Lutschak, but he lost his right arm, and that afterwards he was an invalid, so he didn't carry on with his original job. He became a postman and post official.
Did he ever speak to you about the First World War?
Very rarely. The only thing I remember, just shortly before he died, he says, if ever you come back into this house, there's orders and decorations, I shall hound you.
If ever you come back, what? If ever you come back, what?
No, if ever you come back from the war with decorations or anything, or volunteer for anything, I shall haunt you.
Do you think he was serious?
Well, I don't know. He was rather disillusioned, because in 1933, when the victory parade, and he was not a member of that parade because he was a cripple, and he resigned from the Nazi Party in 1933.
You mean he wasn't allowed to be in the parade?
Well, they didn't want him there. He was all right fighting for him. You know, he came many a time bruised and blooded, fighting communists in the track in Hamburg.
Was that because he didn't look healthy?
No, because he had a wooden arm. He wasn't a...
But was he an active member of the National Socialists?
He was very active before that, you know, before he resigned. Very active. It was a Scharfuhrer, if that means anything.
What does that mean?
Well, a sort of group leader.
In Hamburg?
In Hamburg, yes.
What was your address in Hamburg?
My address was number, 55, Albeker Weg.
And so he was Scharfuhrer for that area, was he?
For that, yes, he was in that area then.
Was he a paid official of the party?
No, he wasn't a paid official. He did a part-time job afterwards when he had to give his job with the post as a Deutsche Arbeitsfront, you know, the labor, you know, organization. He was in the office there collecting subscriptions, etc.
Were the National Socialists strong in Hamburg or not?
No, they're not very strong. They were prominently... Socialist and communist.
Was your area strongly socialist or communist?
The area I don't know, I had a neighbour who was a communist. He was actually an organiser. My father was a Nazi, so it was quite a bit of friction there. No, the whole area was mostly socialist, I would say. We were in the Beamtenviertel. Viertel, the other district where the officials and the strikers live, you know. So slightly above the level of the common workers, sort of.
And how did your father get on with this communist?
Well, they were not talking to each other, you know.
But did your father experience any violence?
Oh, many a time. Many a time.
What kind of way?
Well, he had his head bashed in once or twice, and he came bloodied and bruised. But he had the big advantage, he had a wooden arm.
I would have thought it would be a disadvantage.
Heavy wood. You hit somebody with a wooden arm.
But what was the attraction of the party for him?
For him, I think he was disillusioned with the socialists and communists. I think he was more a nationalist than anything else.
Had he originally been a socialist or communist?
I wouldn't know. I only know him from that one, as I knew him. And before that, I have got no idea of his political alliances.
What about your mother? Was she interested in politics?
Not at all. No, not at all. She looked after the house, and that was about it.
Did you get interested in politics as a boy?
Not really. My father took me to a few meetings of the youth, and I didn't join until it became compulsory, you know. But then I joined the flying section, glider section, because I had been partly member of the Deutsche Luftsportverband, the German Air Sport Club.
Why did you get interested in air matters?
Well, I think it was something to do, I'm not quite sure, but it was something building gliders and then building actual gliders. We had to have 300 hours before we were allowed to sit in a glider. And then I used to go out to outside Hamburg to Fischbeck. It was a hilly area, and we used to do gliding there with the bungee start.
What was that?
With a rubber cable running down the hill and then form and holding, and then making a flight of a bit, about 20 seconds or something like it.
When was this about?
This was 1935, I would say.
You were telling me before that about your memories of the National Socialists coming to power. What specifically can you remember personally of it?
Well, the thought of the fantastic celebrations they had, and looks like my father was happy for a time, until, of course, the victory parade. And the thing seemed to change very rapidly. To be honest, I think there was a lot of improvement. I found that in the aircraft factory I was working at. We used to sit on the bench or where we worked and have our bread and butter, which we used to take with us, you know. And then it improved fantastically. We had dining rooms, we had reading rooms, we had sports facilities, you know. It was a fantastic change over, you know. And we used to go to work in overalls before. Then we had all a personal locker. We had a shower room. So we used to go dressed up to work and come back to from there, you see. So it was quite a big improvement on situations there.
Was this as a result of the National Socialists coming to power?
Yes.
And when you left school in 1934, what job did you get?
Well, first of all, I used to work as an errand boy for a shipping firm in Hamburg.
And then?
Then this aircraft factory started up about 35, 36, I would say. And I joined there as an apprentice.
And what was the name of the factory?
Metallwerk Niedersachsen, Brinkmann and Mergel. So it's rather mouthful. Shall I write it down for you?
No, that's all right.
Okay.
Where was the factory?
Harburg. In Harburg, which is just outside Hamburg. I know I used to cycle there every morning to work.
How far was that?
Oh, quite a long way. It took me half an hour.
And when you first started working, which year would it have been, do you think?
I would say 36.
And when you started working, in what capacity were
well,
you working?
Well, we did the normal sort of apprentice. We started in the blacksmith shop, making our own scissors. We did never anything that was of any use to anybody, if you know what I mean. We made our own tools. That for the first year, blacksmith shop, turning job, filing and fitting and all that kind of stuff. We used to do the whole range what was available, gas welding, electric welding. So we became, but it's classified in Germany as a Flugzeugbauer, an aircraft builder. So we had quite a various experience.
And do you remember the pay that you were getting when you first started?
I'm afraid I don't remember that now.
Was it good pay or not?
Well, I think it must have been reasonable. About average to what the rest of the population sort of earned. Apprentices weren't that well paid.
And what kind of aircraft were they building?
Well, I started out with Junkers 34, which was a corrugated aircraft like the Junkers 52. And the first job I did was some rudders and elevators. And then we went on to Blumenfoss 138. We did various odd jobs, contract jobs, and then Blumenfoss 138, the flying, well, I don't know, the three-engine aircraft.
But did Blumenfoss own this factory?
I'm not sure. I think it was Brinkmann and Mergel. They were actually oil importers. They had a big oil firm next to it. They had this field and they built the aircraft factory. I think they were contractors. I don't think they are owned by Blumenfoss. I think I could find something in there relating to that.
It will be on the record anyway. Were you happy in this job?
Yes, I was happy. I was in the field. I was interested in aviation at that time. You know, flying and aviation. Though I was proud to be there. In effect,
did you have some ambition to be a pilot or air crew?
Yes, I had. I wanted to be, but it wasn't going to be.
Was it difficult to become?
No, air crew? I was colorblind. I was able to do the glider flying up to sea license in spite of the fact that I was colorblind, because they had so-called Rochard's charts that were a figure hidden in a lot of dots, sort of. Well, once they're pointed out to you, you can recognize them. And I sort of learned them by heart.
What did your parents think about the career that you were taking up?
Well, my father died in 1937 of gangrene. And my mother, well, she was just glad I had a job.
How did your father come to die of gangrene?
He lost his arm in 1418. And they kept chopping bits off his arm. And when they got up to his shoulder, it was rather a traumatic thing for me in 1937. And I always remember the scream he had, "I don't want to die," and I left him that day.
In hospital?
Yeah.
And were there any other children in the family?
No, it was just me. I was the only one.
So you became the breadwinner?
Yes.
And when he was not permitted to appear in that parade in 36,
mm-hmm. No, 33.
33. Mm-hmm. Did that mean that he became against the party?
Not against, he was disillusioned. You know, he began to drink and he knew he was seriously ill, you know, and rather had a difficult time afterwards. I think the enthusiasm had gone out of him.
So he must have been a relatively young man when he died.
Yes, he was a volunteer in the 1418 war. I've got his pay book here, if I can check the date. No, anyhow, I can give it to you later on.
Because it looks as though he was born in the 1890s.
Yes, late 19th.
So, did you have financial difficulties at home once your father died?
No, my mother got a widow's pension, and I brought my pay home, of course.
Were you still living in the same place?
The same place, yes.
That you'd always lived in?
Well, I was born in a street called Fenixbush, but that's not a material, in Barmbek.
What did your mother think of the new regime?
I don't think she mentioned any opinion, but the situation seemed to be improving generally.
Were you satisfied at that time?
Yes, I was.
Did you think that a war might be coming?
No, I hadn't got the slightest inclination of a war. Because when I was an errand lad, I used to deal with the Englishmen when they used to come to the firm there, you know, as an errand lad. But now, Hamburg relied on export-import and, you know, we didn't want any war or anything like that.
Did everybody feel contented or did you have people that you knew who were against the regime?
Still? Well, I know that my neighbour disappeared into a concentration camp, the communist organiser. And when he came on, he was rather a broken man, I remember that much. But at the same time, my father was disillusioned with another thing which happened in 1933, that high-ranking communist members joined the Nazi party and became high-ranking officers sort of straight away.
Did you know what was happening in the concentration camps?
No, not the slightest idea. Even in 1948, five, and I was taken prisoner, and we heard those stories. I didn't believe them. I thought it was propaganda.
But did you talk to that communist who came back?
Well, he never mentioned anything regarding. I talked to him because my father had died by then. You know, I talked to him, but his family moved away, and that was about it.
What about Jews? Did any Jews live in your area?
Funny enough, the first job I did for the shipping firm was for a Jewish firm, Andrews. And it was a small firm, used to import and export. And when I was an errand boy, if I could find any names or addresses of other firms, I used to write to them to try and get contracts and such like. And now I embarrassed them at one time, because at evening schools and such like, I did in the Reichsberufswettkampf, the sort of professional trades competition, and I became a Kreissieger, which was a sort of badge, and I put that on proudly, you know, and came there. I realized later on, I must have embarrassed him very much for bringing a Nazi badge into the firm. He was a very generous man. He was, at Christmas, we always used to get all the same, the office, the typists and everything. We used to get a box of tins of all the dean, a box of apples and a box of oranges. That was a complete, box, if you know what I mean. So I've got no bad memories of that. The other thing is, I was for a while courting a Jewish girl. Her name was Ingrid Korn. She lived in my area. And so I've had no animosity towards Jews.
What did her parents think of the relationship?
Her father had been in the 1418 war. He had, was decorated with Iron Cross first class and second class, same as my father. So he used to have his Jewish star and then used to wear the decorations until they stopped him wearing the decorations.
But what did the what did he think of your relationship with his daughter?
I do not know, because we didn't get sort of to the family. I know I was going out with her for quite a long time. And then the family disappeared, that's all I can say.
Including the girl?
Yes, the whole family disappeared.
So, you said that you didn't join the Hitler Youth until you were forced to.
Well, it was then Zwangshitlerjugend, you know. You were, but at the same time, I wasn't objecting to it because I could carry on with my gliding, etc.
Were you interested in politics?
No.
Did you just stay in the Hamburg area, or did you travel about?
Well, for glider flying, we went to Kaitum on Sylt, on the island of Sylt, and we went to Bückeberg, various places, and otherwise on holidays, yes, but Hamburg was my station.
Were the holidays in Germany, or did you go outside?
Never went outside.
Where did you go for holidays?
Well, to the North Sea or to the Baltic. Timmendorfer Strand, that comes to mind.
Was this you and your mother?
Yes.
So, did you stay with this same firm right up until the war starting?
No, no. I went to the aircraft factory.
Which aircraft factory was this?
That Metallwerk Niedersachsen Brinkmann in America.
And were you doing that job when war broke out?
Yes, yes, it was.
When did you finish your apprenticeship?
Actually, I was transferred to an aircraft firm in Graudenz. I was about 42, and I was then there as a chief inspector. You know, I was only 22 then.
Graudenz?
Graudenz, that's Poland. We were repairing aircrafts there and refurbishing the Focke-Wulf 58 Weihe. Was a what we used to classify as an elastoplast bomber.
Why?
Was fabric covered. And then we got, once the Russian area started up, we used to get crashed Mi-109s and such like, and refurbished them and rebuilt them.
Whereabouts in Poland is Graudenz?
Graudenz, it's on the River Vistula, I think they call it in Polish, Weichsel. It's in the former German corridor there, what used to be Germany. Towns surrounded, Marienburg, etc.
Is this near Danzig?
It is before you come to Danzig.
And when you say you were transferred to this factory in 1942, you mean they just ordered you to go?
Yes, yeah, that was it. I was required to go there. And what happened to the apprenticeship, in effect, it just, I got dienstverpflichtet, as they call it. You know.
What does that mean?
Service duty.
So it was like conscription?
Yeah, it was a conscription. And,
industrial conscription?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
Well, it was a new challenge. Always like a challenge.
But in 1939, war had broken out. Mm-hmm. How did you feel when Chamberlain declared war on Germany?
Well, I didn't really take any notice in that respect, but we were in Hamburg, we were all very much just disappointed that something like this happened. Because my own personal opinion at that time was that Germany had asked for its one of its colonies to be returned to Germany, you know, and I would have thought that would have given them the Lebensraum they required, and the war wouldn't have been essential or started.
Who did you blame for the war starting?
Well, I don't know. There were, possibly be influenced by propaganda, but the Germans that were living in the Polish corridor were very much prosecuted or persecuted, I would say. And some of them came to Hamburg and immigrated or sort of got away. And they told us all the stories about them, their farmyards being taken over by Polish families and their cattle being taken away if they wanted it and all that kind of stuff. So we thought, well, there's something wrong down there, you know. So when they went into Poland, we thought, well, they're going to put it right. The other thing was at that time, the Nazis had asked for Autobahn. They were going to build the Autobahn through Poland to East Prussia. And we were going to build it, or the Germans were going to build it, and the Poles could use it free of charge. We didn't want to buy import duty and export duty by taking goods from there into. And that was another one of those things that, in my opinion, started it. You know, the Germans were prepared to build a motorway through there, and free of charge, in effect, and possibly pay even for the land required. So that's one of the background to it.
Did you meet any of the Germans who had been persecuted in the Polish corridor?
Yes, yeah.
How did you come to meet him?
Well, they were in the area where billeted in Hamburg. You know, they were, in effect, as refugees living nearby, and, well, we talked to them, obviously. As children, we're always interested in something different.
What about these socialists and communists before 1933, after the National Socialists took over? Did any of the socialists and did their opinions remain the same?
I think they were, well, what you classify in English as turncoats, very quickly. The only one that was my uncle, he still kept his Communist Party membership card. When he got married, he was presented with a copy of Mein Kampf, like every married couple at that particular time. And he had kept his party membership in the front of it. I remember that. But there was no animosity between my father and him. You know, there were different opinions. That was it, was accepted.
But you say socialists and communists became turncoats?
Yes, quite a few of them. Actually, I don't, except my neighbour, I don't know anybody that sort of remained anti-government. I don't know whether those figures which Nazis gave us at that time, that 94% had voted for the party.
But do you think the socialists and communists were genuine in turning their coats?
Well, I don't know, they were possibly, it was a convenient...